So this morning we're in 2 Peter, if you want to turn there, chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, and Peter finishing this second epistle and encouraging us to grow in the Lord. And he puts it forth as the solution to a lot of spiritual problems, as you'll see here in 2 Peter chapter 3. So we're going to look together at verses 14 through 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3. So he says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, before beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So the title is simply, "But Grow." But grow. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now that the Holy Spirit would use the Word of God in our hearts. And Lord, that we would continue to grow in your Word. Lord, there's just such a desert out there of people growing in your Word, learning your Word, accepting sound doctrine. And I pray, Lord, that we would be aware of this and we would be very careful to make sure that we're continuing to grow in you and in your Word. I pray that, Lord, you would be glorified, you would guide us in your truth, and you'd be pleased with this service. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So we know who he's writing to there in verse 14. He says, "Beloved," he's writing to Christians. And he says, "Seeing that you look for such things," if you look earlier in the chapter, he talks about the return of Jesus Christ. He talks about the new heaven and the new earth that's coming. And he says, "Seeing that you're looking for Jesus, seeing that you're expecting to spend eternity with the Lord," and of course we're told to be looking for the Savior, he says, know that you're looking for these things. I want you to be diligent there in verse 14. I want you to be diligent. And that's really what this passage is about, is God wants us to be diligent to make sure that we are continuing to grow in our faith. There's a tendency among Christians that have been saved a while to stop growing. And that's a very dangerous thing, because with God, you're either going forward or you're going backward. There's no neutral ground. You're either growing or you're shrinking, as we sing in the Sunday school song. "Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you will shrink." It's true. You've got to keep growing. And really, one of the earmarks of today, is it not, is that so many Christians aren't growing in the Word of God because they don't feed on the Word of God. They don't study it. They go to church where all they get is entertainment. They're never taught the Word of God. And so they're not even grounded in the first place. So they're not growing. And you have all these immature Christians running around. They don't know the Word. And as we'll see, they're led astray very easily into false teachings. But Peter's going to give us the preventative medicine for that. But he wants us to be diligent, as we see here. Be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. God wants us to keep short accounts with him. It doesn't mean that we can walk sinlessly, but it does mean that we can keep short accounts and we can confess our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Verse 15, he says, "An account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." So he points over to Paul, who through God, or God through Paul, revealed to us the mystery of the church. And that's why he says in some of his epistles, speaking of those things in which are some things hard to be understood. This is Peter writing, and he says some of Paul's writings are harder to understand. He says some of them, people, it says rest, or that word rest there means to twist to their own destruction. And we see it all around us, do we not? And like we talked earlier in our Sunday school class a couple months ago, when you look at the church age, it's 2,000 years old, and then you look at the cults, most of them are very young, relatively speaking. But they've done this very thing. They've taken the scriptures and they've twisted them to their own destruction. You take the Jehovah's Witness, they're going to go to hell unless they trust Jesus Christ as Jehovah. And they've refused to accept the person of Christ. And they're going around spreading this message that Jesus is not God. They've twisted the scriptures. Or though even the Mormons who teach that we can all become gods. That didn't come from the Bible, of course. But they've twisted the scriptures. Church of Christ on the baptism and the Catholicism teaching you can get to heaven through the church. And all these charismatic churches teaching that you can lose your salvation or that God wants you all to be rich and healthy. Where does all this come from? It comes from people twisting the scriptures who are not grounded in the Word of God. And so he says there in verse 17, this is kind of where we're starting this morning. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, seeing that those of you that I'm writing to, that you already know these things, and if you look at the whole chapter, the things that he's talking about, he's saying that there will be scoffers, he's saying that God wants, verse 9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody saved. Seeing that you know that Jesus is coming back, that you know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, seeing that you know all of these things, verse 17, beware. Beware. Beware of two things. Number one, being led astray. Number two, that you fall from your own steadfastness. Beware. He says, you know these things. I've written them down and I've sent them out to the churches. You know all of these great truths, but I want you to beware. That, first of all, that you not be led away with the error of the wicked. Go to 2 Corinthians 11:3. We'll see where Paul gave a very similar warning. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Every believer needs to be on guard. The devil is not going to stop trying to spread false doctrine among his churches, or among God's churches. It's just going to keep happening, and it's going to keep getting worse now that we have YouTube. Notice 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The church I started in Arizona, we actually had a church split over, you won't believe this, over whether or not a church over there should be registered with the IRD. We had a church split over that. And the guy who started it, well, we only lost two families, but still, it was sad. But the guy who started it, he got all of his information off of YouTube. That it was a sin for churches to register as a charitable organization. I mean, you talk about something that, when you look at all the doctrines of the Bible, that's kind of like way down here. But it became a big deal. And this is going on all around the world. People leaving churches, people spreading all of these ridiculous things that are coming out because they're not on guard. They're not watching out. And they're not, as Peter encourages us, they're not growing in the Word of God. So they're not ready. And someone comes along and they're very subtle, you know, the devil's subtle, and they start sharing all this stuff. Say, oh, watch this YouTube channel. And they start watching it, and it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Well, sometimes it might make sense, and it's wrong. This has to be our final authority. Not what people think, not because they're a nice person, but what the Bible says. And he says, I want you to beware because you can be very easily, he says, be led away with the error of the wicked. And even John told us in his epistle, he said, it's just going to get worse and worse. Chapter 3, verse 13, he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. He tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, try the spirits Because many false prophets are going out into the world. He says, beware. And as Peter says, don't be led away with the error of the wicked. And we mentioned some of the cults, but it's just going to get worse. We had a lady come here on a Wednesday night, maybe 6 months ago, and she just couldn't wait to try to convert all of us to the doctrine of annihilation. And she started with me. You know, I'm just the pastor. She's going to change my doctrine. And she said, some Baptist guy wrote a book, so it's obviously true, that hell isn't eternal. And it was a really big, well, it is a big deal. It's a big deal. We talked about it in Sunday school recently. It's a big deal. You might say, what is the big deal? Let me tell you, if you go to a lost person and say, hey, if you don't get saved, God's going to zap you out of existence and you're not going to exist anymore. You're not going to care. Most lost people are going to say, oh, well, that's not so bad. Yeah, you got to go through a little bit of pain and then it's over and then you don't care. You don't exist anymore. So party. But if you tell him, actually, you're going to go to hell and you're going to be in torment forever and ever and ever. That's a little bit different, isn't it? That's something that you need to get saved from. Amen? And Jesus is the Savior. And these are just some little examples. But he says, I want you to watch out. Because it's going to happen and it's going to happen more and more. That people are going to be led astray with the error of the wicked. So that's the one thing he says to be aware of. But then he says, verse 17, or that you fall from your own steadfastness. Listen, if every born again Christian that was saved as a result of this ministry alone was sitting in here this morning, we wouldn't fit. And that is a fact. Why? Because so many Christians have fallen from their own steadfastness. They don't go to church anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. They don't pray anymore. They just live their lives like the world. They're born again. And God is speaking to them and God is working in their lives. But they have fallen. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 10 there. If you would, turn there quickly. 1 Corinthians 10:12. He says, every one of us needs to be on guard, not only about false doctrine, but listen, the devil is a roaring lion and he is walking about and he is seeking whom he may devour, and that hasn't stopped. He still wants to make Christians stumble and fall. Notice the 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Writing to Christians, take heed, lest he fall. Who? Those who think that they've arrived. Those who think that they stand. Those who think that they're immune to falling. Those are the least immune. And then also in Hebrews 10, if you would look there, verse 38. Hebrews 10, 38. Look what he says. Now the just shall live by faith. Amen. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. How many Christians have drawn back? When they first got saved, they couldn't wait to tell people about Jesus and they couldn't read the Bible enough. They had to be in church. Now where are they? They've drawn back. And Peter says, beware. Beware lest this happen to you. Beware lest you be led astray with the error of the wicked. Somebody comes along and whispers in your ear some new doctrine. There is no new doctrine. The New Testament's been the same for 2,000 years. There's no new doctrines. Or you fall. So, that's the thing to beware of. And then he gives us the very simple but very profound and important preventative medicine, verse 18, but grow. Grow. There is no other preventative medicine to keep us from being led away or from falling, but to be growing. To continually be maturing in our faith. We talked a little bit about this last week, about leaving our first love, but we all need to regularly stop and take our own account. Where am I in my Christian walk? Have I gone forward or backward since a year ago? Have I gone forward or backward since 5 years ago? Am I still growing? Now, physically, we stop growing when we're 18, 20 years old. Spiritually, it never stops. We start as babies in Christ, and we're to grow and to grow and to keep growing. And if you're completely sinless and you walk just like Jesus, then you have arrived. But otherwise, we all have some growing to do. If we still sin, and if we still struggle, and if we still make mistakes, we have some growing to do. So look at Ephesians 4:14, where Paul gives his explanation of this, that we are to keep growing in grace and in knowledge. Notice Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What is he saying? That you can only be children for so long. He's saying there's Christians out there that might be been saved for 20 years and they're still children in their faith. 30 years and they're still children. And we meet them all the time, especially the charismatics. They're the worst. You know, you start talking about Bible stuff and their eyes just roll back because they don't even know their Bibles. They know some great speeches that they've heard in church and they know some great preachers, and they definitely have a good time at church in their worship service, but they don't know this. This is what it comes down to. Paul says, I want you to grow up. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may, what? Grow. Keep growing. So we're to grow, first of all, in grace. We see here in verse 18 of 2 Peter 3, in grace. How do we know if we're growing in grace? It's easy. If you're more like Jesus today than you were last year, then you're growing in grace. If you're exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit more than you were last year, you're growing in grace. It means that you're now exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit more than you did because the Spirit's more in control of your life. You're growing in grace. Where do we find this grace? Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come to the throne and we beg God for it. So it's really easy to just take stock. Well, is my life more exhibiting love or anger? More joy or discontentment? More long-suffering or impatience? More peace or more stress? More gentleness or more harshness? More goodness or more wickedness? More faith or more fear? More meekness or more pride? More temperance or more indulgence? Those are just the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. But we could go on the rest of the morning, couldn't we? More forgiveness or more bitterness? More service or more laziness? More servanthood or more self-centeredness? The bottom line is, if we're growing in grace, we're more like Jesus. But then he says in verse 18, and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's only one place we find this knowledge, and that is in God's Word. And God wants us to grow. Grow. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Matthew 11:29. I want you to continue to be learning of me. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, if you would, where Paul gives his explanation of this. Colossians 1:10. And no one this morning can say, I know every verse of the Bible perfectly, and I know every doctrine of the Bible perfectly. No, because it's a living book. And we just keep learning. Notice Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing. Are we increasing? Because that is the preventative medicine from being led astray. That is the preventative medicine from falling, is that we're growing in God's word. Look at Hebrews 5 quickly, if you would, verse 11. You know, when you look at David's attitude toward the word of God, he talked about things like, oh, how love I thy law. He said, the man that's blessed in his deeds shall be meditating in the word of God day and night. All these scriptures where he only had the Old Testament. Imagine if he would have had the New Testament as well. But a lot of Christians don't have that attitude about the word of God. Notice Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we may have many things to say and hard be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. In other words, you're not listening, you're not growing. Verse 12, for when the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you. He says, you should have matured by now, that you should be teaching other people the word of God. Instead, you're continuing to have to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. This is a rebuke. And he's saying, you ought to have grown up by now. Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's saying that there's Christians that are still babies. And they shouldn't be. They should have grown up in their understanding of God's word. They should have grown up in their grace and their faith. And they should be exhibiting that maturity. But instead, they've either been led away or they have fallen from their own steadfastness. The only solution is to grow. Peter's made that very clear. He's concluding his book. It's the final verse of the book. And he says, grow. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I know when I look at my own Christian life, when I was at university, my wife and I, we just weren't that faithful to church. I mean, admittedly, we were super busy, but that wasn't an excuse. We both worked full time. I went to school full time. But when we moved to Seattle and I started working for Boeing, we started going to church. We said, we need to just make a commitment as a family. We're going to be faithful. And we lived a half an hour away, but we were every service. And just in those 4 years there in Seattle, we grew leaps and bounds. I mean, part of it was because we had a pastor that preached God's word. But just being there and being fed the word of God, we just grew. We couldn't. We just grew so much in that time. And looking back, you just can't, there's no substitute for being faithful and growing in the word of God. You know, the Bible says, Psalm 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants our Christian faith to flourish. He wants us to grow in our grace. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What a great finish to the book. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You want to know if you're growing? Is that your focus? Is to bring God glory? Or is it all about self? So there really is not some complicated formula for avoiding being led astray, avoiding falling. It's actually a very simple answer, and that is grow. For the time will come, 2 Timothy chapter 4, when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is now. People would much rather be entertained than have to listen to a boring sermon from the Word of God. They'd much rather have a party. Well, that's the flesh speaking, isn't it? But God wants us to grow. And I hope every one of us can say, I'm growing, I'm growing, I'm growing. And if not, I need to make some changes. because I'm actually shrinking when I should be growing. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word and for